The darkness pressed on her eyes, her face. She could almost feel furry hands clasping her. Ridiculous. She'd never been afraid of the dark before. But then, she'd never been in this cave before either. She pushed the goggles up so that the sudden flare wouldn't blind her, and scraped the lighter until a spark caught the candle. Dim yellow light flickered around them. She put the candle into its lantern, and four beams made clear the distinction between light and shadow. Rafa's face, underlit, looked strange and dangerous and oddly exciting. Bubbles pushed that thought away. She had no time for anything but the present crisis. She looked around. They had turned a corner into a rough corridor, low, narrow, and twisting. On the opposite wall, a blurred mark showed, one of Kell's, she had no doubt. It looked like a cartoon sailboat. She had no idea why. She moved the lantern about, looking on all the rock surfaces nearby. Another mark, this one somewhat resembling a tree, near what might be a niche or another corridor, a black gash in the rock. The central cavern's water extended into all the dark entrances she could see, as if all drained into or from it.
Boat equals water. Water flows downhill, meets the sea.
A way out?
We know where the trees are, on top of this cave, and full of hunters.
She turned to continue downward, the way she hoped the boat indicated.
The light!
Bubbles had snuffed it already. In the darkness, they clung together again, hearts pounding. Bubbles saw red and yellow blotches floating on the darkness, and told herself they were the afterimage of the candle. Bubbles felt Rafa's warm breath tickling her ear.
He must have seen the light somehow.
They must not move. In the dark, they would make the kind of noise he was making. He would surely hear them. He would have one of the weapons with night-sensing equipment. Bubbles realized she'd left the night-vision goggles hanging around her neck while carrying the candle lantern, and pushed them into place. But there was no ambient light to amplify. Thick darkness pressed in on her again.
I hate caves.
Ronnie. It's Ronnie.
Bubbles concentrated on relighting the candle in its lantern. He looked like someone who had been at the tail end of a hunt on a muddy day. Wet, his clothes streaked heavily with clay, his face haggard with exhaustion, he stared at them, swaying slightly, in the feeble light of the candle lantern.
You're not hunters.
Rafa, Bubbles, don't you remember?
She rushed to him, hovering as though he were a fragile ornament she might break with her gaze.
Yes.
He stood there, his hands trembling, and seemed to be near collapse. One of his eyes had a dark stain around it. Bubbles saw raw scratches and scrapes on his hands and face.
You need to be dry, and you need food. Come on, Rafa, get him to dry ground.
He stood in ankle-deep water, with a dry ledge not a stride away. But of course, he'd been in the dark the whole time. It was harder than she had imagined to dry a large, very wet and dirty young man in a damp cave. Once out of the water, he dripped water and mud onto the ledge. She had no dry clothes for him and nothing to dry him with. Food, the food she had brought along from the first cache, he held in his hand as if he couldn't remember its purpose. Finally, she and Rafa had to undress him, struggling with the wet fasteners, the uncooperative cloth, and use every scrap of spare clothes to dry him. His skin was cold, as disgusting to touch as meat from a cold locker. He sat huddled, shivering, hardly seeming aware of them. Bubbles heated the food bar over the candle lantern until it sizzled and gave off an oily, heavy smell, then pinched off a bit with her fingers.
Here, eat this.
His mouth gaped. She pushed the food in. His jaw moved a little, and he swallowed.
I'll do that. You keep watch.
Rafa pulled off her shirt and laid it around Ronnie's shoulders. He didn't even glance at her slender nakedness. Bubbles looked away as she stood up.
Keep watch. Fine idea, but how?
They needed the candle lantern. It made them visible. They had to talk. It made them audible. Bubbles moved back to the margin of the main cavern and peeked around. She could just see, with her goggles on, the smudge of light from the entrance across the water. An impossible situation. And yet, in the near silence, in the almost darkness, she felt secure. Cupped in some great hand, a feeling she remembered from those camping trips when she had felt the land under her as a benign presence. Silly, her schoolmates would have said. She had said it herself, of younger girls' illusions. Here she felt like herself again, her real self. Not the mosaic of consensus she was in public, in society. Here she felt connected to the little girl who learned to swim in the waves with the cetaceans, who learned to scramble up steep rocks, dig holes. The little girl who had been called Bubbles, and had thought of herself as a great hero out of some tale. She felt her face shifting to a grin, felt the pressure of the goggles change with that grin. Such a tomboy, her mother had said. Her brothers had said. But tomboys grow up. Not always, she thought. At least, not if it meant changing completely. Ronnie's aunt hadn't.
Bubbles, he's better. Come.
It had been long enough that she was stiff, but she thought at once that Rafa had forgotten to use her new name, the name she now felt was really hers. This was no time to worry about that, but she wouldn't forget. She shook herself and retreated to the lantern light, pushing the goggles down. Rafa nestled close to Ronnie. Bubbles thought to herself that he was undoubtedly warm on that side, and suspected that Rafa had done more than lean against him. Ronnie had expression on his face now, misery and worry.
They got George. He was alive then, but I don't...
How?
They poisoned the water. I don't suppose you
know... Yes, we did. That's how we found the cave, going upstream to look for safe water.
Bubbles didn't know if they should press him to talk. Whatever had happened to George must be over now. But he pushed aside Rafa's arm and made himself explain what had happened. She wasn't at all sure he had it straight. How many times had he lost consciousness or fallen asleep? Where had they been exactly? He had no idea where he had fallen into the cave, except upstream from where he'd left George.
Never mind. You couldn't help it. And it'll be all right.
It wouldn't, of course. If Rafa thought about it, she'd know. Ronnie surely knew, though he might let himself be comforted by Rafa. Certainly she, Bubbles, knew that everything would not be all right. The hunters might keep George alive, trying to catch the rest, but too many had died already. Too much had happened. However this turned out, things would not be all right. Not the way they had been before.
We have to help George. We have to get out of this cave.
He tried to stand up, and Rafa pulled him back down.
Not until the hunters give up.
Bubbles knew they wouldn't. But she didn't want Ronnie yelling and charging around, making it obvious where they were.
They probably took him to Bandon, if they didn't kill him right away.
George would be at Bandon, tied up like someone from an adventure cube, to be rescued later and reunited with his friends. In the cube, she would be the designated girlfriend, the blonde who gave him a passionate kiss as the end music came up. The problem was that she didn't want George to die, but she didn't want to be the designated blonde, either. She was Brun, not Bubbles, and so far, Brun wasn't a designated anything. She put that thought aside to think about later, and with a glance at Rafa, set to work to cheer Ronnie up and keep him from doing something rash.